Yeah.
All right, guys. All right, everybody. All right, guys. Okay, good. All right, we are going to, I want to spend enough time where you guys do, actually the goal here is for us to actually spend some time writing, creatively writing, crafting our own personal prayer. But to get to do that, we want to have a, we don't want to get a little basic. So basically there's, I want to focus on two preliminary elements before we get to that. The first thing about Tila is Kavana. If you don't have Kavana, you don't have Tila. Okay, there is no Tila without Kavana. All right, we're going to get to what is Kavana. So to help us into that, we're going to the video. Because that's the way we do it. Oh, here we go. Shh. Hit the light, please.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets had. Screw them. This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Okay, guys, so what did Coach Brooks in the movie Miracle, which talks about the 1980 Winter Olympics with the United States team playing against the Soviet team, the Russian team. What was he trying to accomplish in that famous pre-game on the page? What are you trying to accomplish? Don't want one.
He wants to, like, pump them up.
He wants to pump them up.
Yeah, so he wants to inspire them to defeat the Soviets.
He wants to pump them up to... Correct. In other words, how when you walk into the room, how do they look? All right, Dave Norris. Much of sports, much of war, and by extension, much of life is a psychological game. And often, more often than not, we can be our own worst enemy. We can defeat ourselves before anybody does anything. So basically, when he walked into that room, essentially they had already lost the game. They hadn't played the game, but they'd already lost. So his job, what he did was to, now he did a number of excellent things for, if you do public speaking, you would notice at least three or four great things that he did. He walked in the room, and what did he do? What?
He looked at them.
He looked at them, said nothing. And walked around. So that's what, so he grabbed their attention. And basically what was his basic message?
You can do it.
You're true. Better than them.
Right. And he worked.
I think it's also like, I believe in you, you should believe in yourselves.
Kind of conversation. Correct. But to apply to our interest, in other words, each of the fact they had already advanced to the finals clearly means that they had some skills. They just weren't intimidated by the Soviet team, which was a world class team. They were who were the best of the entire Soviet Empire, which is very intimidating. They just do they have a whole very organized way to get the very best team. So he says, as he said, you could play on 10, you could lose 9 out of 10 times, but this is the one time you're going to beat him, and that time is going to be tonight. So the key thing is that Kavana is basically his focused thought. It's to focus your mind on a few things. Now, naturally, as we all know, that's very hard to do. Because, first of all, we're always like spacing out and thinking about a million things. We have all our worries and concerns and anxieties and fears. You're going, ching, 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 ching. And then you add a little phone action into there. Then you got the computer going on. My kid watches on Sunday, he's a glutton for punishment, but he's still watching the Giants. It's, give up. It's over. It's over. Then he's got his little tablet with the fantasy team going on there. He's like, he's not watching the game. He's got two things going on there. You know what I mean? Not to mention snacks. So it's like a distraction fiesta going on there. So having Kavana on anything is hard. And much important. So now let's get the Rambam sort of shrunk it down to a sentence. What is Kavana? We'll have somebody read. We'd like to read our first text of the day. Shana?
What is meant by Kavanat Halev, or focused thought?
Now, by the way, the word means kavana is translated by intent, devotion. I mean, these words you're going to hear a lot, but it really means that now lave in Judaism refers to either your heart or contextually also your mind. It's used in both senses, and you got to figure out context clues what it's talking about. And you'll see clearly the Ram is using it as it here means the mind. So let's see what he's going to tell us. What this is. What is Kavanat Halev? What is meant by Kavanat Halev? Go on.
One should clear his mind from all his personal calculations and envision himself as if he is standing before the Shlina, divine presence. Therefore, one must sit a short while before praying in order to focus his attention, and then pray in a pleasant and supplicatory fashion.
Okay. So basically, davening, you see from this, davening is not saying words, not reading texts, it really is getting to a certain state of mind. Now, insofar as requests are concerned, what part of the morning service on a regular day is, what percent is requests and what percent is praising and thanking Hashem? What's the percentage? What's the split? What would you say?
About 70-30 requests.
So what percent is requests?
I didn't do the calculation, but last week you said...
No, other way.
Oh, really?
Okay. I'm just throwing out the question. I want to hear from everybody. All right, you're going 70% praise and 30% request.
No,
70%. I didn't do the math, but last week you said 95.5.
Okay, that's true. All right, time. I did say it last week. What do you guys say? What? I did mention last week, actually. I can't remember. In Zoom land. It's actually 95% praising Hashem and 5% requests. Let me go through the sinner very simply. The morning blessings, right? You have the 15 praising Hashem for standing up straight, for being clothed, you know, for all the different, going to the bathroom. Thank you for giving us the Torah. And then you have Psuki to Zimra, Baruch Shamar, Ashrei Yishtabach, and then all the stuff in the middle, all the extra stuff, right? It's all praising Hashem for the universe, for the Jewish people. And then you got the blessings before and after Shema. So you have blessings about praising Hashem for the majesty of creation. And then the love that he shows Jewish people by giving them the Torah. Then Shema is a exhortation for the Jewish people of how to be the best people we can be. That's the Shema, sort of our pledge of allegiance, or what we think is important. And then we end up blessing God for being the Redeemer. So far, you've asked God for basically nothing, okay? And we're deep into the thing. And then we have the Amidah. Now, in fact, during Shabbat, we don't ask for any material needs. You only ask for spiritual needs on Shabbat. During the week, you have the three blessings at the beginning of the Amidah that don't change. Three at the end. The middle of the sandwich always changes. So during the week, it's 13 requests. You know, you ask for knowledge, you ask for forgiveness, you ask for health and wealth, right? Familiar with that? And on Shabbat, you have one blessing. You got one middle blessing of praising God for sanctifying the Shabbos. And within that, sanctifying the Jewish people, etc. So the reality is, the entire Sidur is basically no different than Coach Brooks trying to get us into the zone. The sitter is taking us by the hand and get us from our usually distracted state to think about the cosmic picture. Big picture, perspective of the Jewish people, past, present, and God willing future, and then your life and how you fit into that whole chain. So it's trying to move it out of our, like, well, do I need extra milk? And did I pay that Verizon bill? You know, that's where our head is mostly at. And how come the guy didn't text me back? Okay, that's realistically where our head's back. And, you know, I could really enjoy some more of Shayna's chocolate because I'm bringing every single Wednesday night because I need to get a little more thinner. Anyways, I'm just too thin. What's my problem? Too thin. People tell me, right, Penny? You are a thinny Penny. Actually, nobody's ever not said that once. Not even once. I'm waiting, you know. All right, anyways. How we digress. So that's the goal. The goal is to be the sitter, basically, is a tool of Kavana. And the main event is the Amidah. That's it. That's what this thing is. To walk off the screen and just sort of daven is like, it's sort of like unrealistic because our mental apparatus is not that. We're not naturally thinking about Hashem. If we're nearly about, you know, if we're waiting outside the room, to hear test results, well, that's also a source of kavana. But, you know, that's not, every life has to be an extreme life or death situation. You know, that also, cause that strips away all the distractions of life and gets you into the big cosmic perspective of life or death. But in a normal life situation, that's not your typical situation, and therefore kavana is, shall we say, hard to come by. That's why the Seder is like 95% praising Hashem, getting us into the zone, and then the 5% of the actual request part. Is that clear? Let's go on. So therefore, the goal is to try to view ourselves as if we're standing before the Creator. Now, in a certain sense, aren't we always standing in front of the Creator? So aren't we always standing in front of the Creator? By definition, in a certain sense? So then why do you, so what's the problem then? If I'm always, in a certain sense, before the Creator, then why can't I just daven? Hashem, in a certain sense, his power is everywhere. So why do I need to have kavan at all? I'll throw that back at you.
It's like, maybe it's like when you're talking versus just sort of being, you're talking to God.
Okay. So, yes, you're saying you might be being in front of Hashem, But to talk and to talk to address Hashem means you need to be aware of who you are speaking in front of. In other words, Hashem may be before us, but we're not paying any attention. We're ignoring him. So the Siddur is a tool to get us back into the into a much more focused, alert, big picture perspective. If you ever try, if you get one of the endless wonderful products that Google produces, it's a thing called Google Earth. Anybody use that?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So Google Earth, you can start off with the Earth, and you put in an address, and it goes neek. Then you'll see the Earth, then you'll see North America, then you'll see the United States, then you'll see the Northeast, then you'll see the New York, then you'll see, New York State, then you'll see the five boroughs, then you'll see Manhattan. Then you see the Upper West Side, and then you'll see 131 at West 863 on the 11th floor in the conference room. Okay, okay. So it's like the Kavana is sort of like putting the focus, but in reverse. It's going from our little world to the big world. It's Google Earth in reverse. That's what the Siddur is trying to do. Is that clear? All right. That's step one, Kavana. No problem. We got that down. Okay, we move on to step two. Now, davening, tefillah, as we read every morning, who could read this? This is a text that you've heard. Okay, Jay, Bavakasha, read this. We read this in the morning, every morning. Yeah, you?
Step number two. Ongoing study of the meaning of prayer and its concept. Morning service. Hamon Shabbat, 127. These are the deeds that yield immediate fruit and continue to yield fruit in time to come. Honoring parents, doing deeds of loving kindness, attending the house of study, punctually, morning and evening, providing hospitality, visiting the sick, helping the needy bride, attending the dead, probing the meaning of prayer, making peace between one person and another, and between husband and wife. And the study of Torah is the most basic of them all.
Okay. So there's the Talmud here identifies a series of myths that you get benefit in this world. And you get benefit, and you get a dividend in the next world. And one is called, the Hebrew is called Iyun Tefillah, which article translates probing the meaning of prayer. Which basically learning about Tefillah, the particular words, the sentences, the concepts at large, is really a lifelong journey. Because the Siddur incorporates all the core ideas of Judaism. It's not like learning how to shake a lulav. I could take any of you guys and in 7 minutes teach you how to perform the technical act of lifting and shaking the lulav. Maybe 8 minutes if you're feeling a little slow, okay? And if you had a cup of coffee, we'll do it in six, all right? That's it. A Siddur, I'm still learning the Siddur. There's knowing about learning the words. There's near infinite amount of concepts being articulated there. That's why it's not just like you're done. Now, there's different levels. There's a basic level of literacy you want to get to, like to be able to read in Hebrew and know what you're saying. But then there's but now they know what they're saying. But what does it mean? There's a lot of stuff here. Each phrase requires an explanation. So tefillah is not a discrete activity of reading text. Yes, part of it is reading text. But first of all, it's a focus of your mind on certain things about Hashem. And that is going to be evolving to the extent of your knowledge and understanding. Your tefillah is going to be better. Okay? It's not like one level of tefillah. It's like either the tefillah button is on or it's off. Amanda.
I was actually explaining this to a student today who was acting with her tefillah. I have no idea what's going on. And I was trying to explain to her that when you keep davening, you build stamina. So the more you do it, so it's hard. It's like running. And the more it really is.
It is hard.
To stay focused. But the better you do it, it's like the endorphins are released and it's better. So I just wanted to say that, like you were saying, that it like takes time or whatever to focus. But I feel like you just got to start somewhere.
100%. And I want to just speak to that point. If you're not a daily davener, I recommend starting with 2 minutes a day. Let's say a moda ani, saying like the first paragraph of Shema. 3 minutes, okay? Just start with that. just to and to do it in a thoughtful way.
You don't have to go in order. You can just do the immediate in the morning. And
I'm just saying, again, we're talking about easing into. We're not in order. Yeah. There's different frameworks. One framework is, well, what is the halachic minimum? That's one perspective. Another perspective is, I am not a davener now. What is a realistic way to ease on into the world of davening? Those are not the same thing. You got to be realistic with yourself. You know, your person says, you know, opens up a sitter and is like, you know, chakra starts on page 2 and goes to 152. That's called not happening right now. No, that's called not happening. Okay, so you got to think. You know, you take a little shtickle, as I like to say. You take a little shtickle, not too much, but you want to. Because basically, by davening, what are you essentially doing? You're bringing Hashem into your life. That's one of the goals of tefillah. Because otherwise, all your mind can be thinking about is the Verizon bill. Why the guy didn't text you back? You know, how many videos did I just spend 2 hours watching on YouTube? That, why don't I turn off that auto, what's the thing called? The auto scroll? It automatically feeds another video in?
Autoplay.
That is basically heroin. Okay, just know that, all right? Oh, we have 30 brainy people figuring out an algorithm that makes sure that you'll be addicted to Facebook and YouTube. In other words, so if you like, but the goal is to transcend that, so therefore a little bit of davening, you know, like one pinch of davening per day is a good way to start. Jade.
I admit I am a part-time davener who will do it on the phone on the way to work.
Okay, hold on. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Okay.
That's still davening.
Yes.
I do have a question.
Yes.
You can't do Yanita on the subway. I mean,
okay.
Do it sitting anywhere.
Okay, so the basic deal is you can, ideally, of course, you're supposed to say the Amidah standing up with your feet together. But if you're in a situation like, you know, whenever I'm on a plane, I'm not going to stand up and block away, so I will dive in sitting down.
Okay.
But it might be better if you can take a moment in your work and have, if there's an empty, conference room, or you can say there's a meeting for yourself in a conference room. This has been done before. And you dive in yourself there. That's also cool. You know what I'm saying? So, right, I'm just trying to, the goal, that's not our focus tonight, but I just want to say, that's the second point. I want to get to our third, because really the goal here is for you to work on your own personal prayer. Yeah,
that's the part that I wanted to say. So I'm saying that I find that getting into routine at bedtime, and a lot of people like read before bed, so for me, the one thing that I do every night, for the most part, is the bedtime Shema. Like that, I am, got that down to a pack, but the morning is a bit of a challenge.
Okay, 100%.
But working on
it. Okay, so you guys all got the fancy schmancy MG fellowship sitter. The point being is that, you know, you can read it in English. If you don't know what you're saying, say it in English. There's, you know, transliteration. There's, you know, interlinear. All kinds of your tools out there available. You can buy them all on Amazon. They'll be shipped to your house in 2 days. Okay, so step 3, this is our focus of tonight, because I want to give time for you guys to, this is a seminar, a workshop for you guys, not for me to talk, okay? So let's have somebody reading. Okay, so this is from the Rambam. Now, okay, this is sort of the practical dimension of tonight's class. Who would like to read the section number 3? Are you leaving, Rebecca Shah?
Personalizing the text of the request section of the Amidah. One praying with a congregation should not lengthen his prayer excessively. However, he may do so when praying alone. If, after praying, he desires to add to his prayers, he may, including even the confession of Yom Kippur. Similarly, he may...
Which means that, which is like the longest thing, as you know. In other words, you can... In other words, there's no limit. You want to have your davening to be supersized, infinite, you know, you can add. Okay? But go on.
Similarly, he may add in each of the middle blessings something relevant to that blessing if he desires. What is implied? If... person for whom he wants to pray, he should request mercy for this person and the blessing for the sick as eloquently as he can. If he requires sustenance, he should add a supplication and request in the blessing for material prosperity. The same applies regarding each of the other blessings. Should one desire to ask for all his needs in the blessing of the one who hears prayer, he may do so. However, he should make no requests in the first 3 or last 3 blessings.
Okay, so let me explain what that means.
I don't know that.
So for example, what the Ram tells us, and this is also in the Shulchan Aruch, if you have, in other words, part of the part of the difficulty of tefillah is that you're reading a set text, a formal text, and it's very stiff, wooden, non-spontaneous. Okay, and there are reasons for that. But you ideally, if you have a particular need, and everybody here has needs that are pressing on you, you should personalize the tefillah. So let's say a person is concerned about a sick relative. Okay, so a person should articulate in the Amidah section into the which is the blessing for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the 13th blessing, the intersection on the Refa'enu. Heal us, Lord, and we shall be healed. So in fact, even have a little section here, they already have a pre-written out text, but the Rambam says you should really, the better thing is doing your own words. So let's say you have a person as a relative and they're struggling with cancer and they're going for a big procedure tomorrow. That if that ain't time for davening, I don't know when it is. So you should daven. You should say it in your own words. Now it should be eloquently. In other words, you should think about it. It shouldn't be a ramble on. But you know, you're talking to God. So that's why some people write it out and have it inserted like in a little 3x5 card. It's another thing to do that. Or you have it in your own mind. It doesn't have to be a big paragraph, a couple sentences, but that's it. So that's number one. Or let's say you're, yes.
Just a quick question. Does the person have to be Jewish?
No. No. Somebody who's important to you. That's the quality. Certainly your own health, the well-being. The next blessing is for prosperity. Okay, the Rambam also quoted that one. That's the next one. Let's say you're about for a review. It can go either way. Okay, you're nervous. You might get laid off. You might get a raise. That might be a good time to know. You may want to, that would be, again, and to articulate that. I'm going to talk about some of the bullet points to element there. Now, there's a catch-all thing. There's a Shema Koleinu, hear our prayer, and you can put all of them in there. So if you don't want to try to figure out which is thematically appropriate, you can always stick it in the last one of the requests, number 13, response to prayer, the Shema Koleinu, listen to our voice, Lord our God, the 13th of the middle blessings, okay? And then right before the end, you'll say your need, whatever your needs are. It could be anything. Now, in order to make people feel comfortable, what I'm asking you to write tonight, write out, and we're going to share. Sharon, if you're writing about your friend, not you, of course. Okay, so it allows everybody to have a little psychological cover to be able to feel comfortable to write a prayer that you want to help your friend that they would say. Okay, because I don't want to make it so personal that becomes. Yeah.
So when you're adding in your personal prayer, like so, let's say the example that you're doing for the promotion, or you get fired, you put that into the success.
Prosperity, yeah.
When would you say?
So you can really definitely do it as long as you start the thing, even if you say Barakalim, blessed this year, our God, and then you can put it into that right after the beginning. When you see in the request, they typically do it like right off, like before the blessing of blessed be you Hashem, who blesses the years, there's a little clause, a sort of summarize whole thing. So I've always done it right before the closing clause. Which is like you see by Refa'enu, let's say by which I made it bigger. But if you have the in your sitter that you received, you got the I'll read it in English, or you got the other one. I don't know what you got. I'm just reading. Heal us, Lord, we will be healed. Save us, we will be saved. For you are our praise. Bring complete recovery for all ailments. Comma. They suggest put it there, and then because right after they have a little thing for you, God King, are the faithful compassionate healer. So you stick it in right there. So you would, for the health, for the well being, for the prosperity, you put before the bless our years is the best year. Put before there. But anywhere you put, as long as you start the blessing, bless this year, our Lord, our God, and you can go in, you can launch into that whole point. Okay, that's fine. Just stick it into the middle of the blessing. You're fine. Now, here we get to the exercise. Okay, we're about to compose a personal tefillah insertion for your friend. This is the in class assignment or workshop activity. Your friend needs a shidduch, not you. Okay? So you're going to come down. 2, your friend needs to get a promotion. 3, your friend needs help with the shalom bias of their family. Shalom bias means what?
Peace in the home.
Peace in the home. Okay? Your friend needs help with a psychological issue. Okay? Indicate which bracha should be placed into. indicate how this result, now this is where we talk, this connects to our previous class. We said that as Jacob, Yaakov, in his encounter with his violent brother, framed his request in regards to the covenant of the Avos. In other words, he is an extension of the Avos. He's an extension of the mission of the Jewish people. We are an extension of that. So I want you to, part of your sort of, to frame your blessing, not just as help bail me out, but give me this particular thing because, with a because. How is it going to help you be a better expression of the covenant of the mission of the Jewish people? I'll give you a simple example. So well, how does me getting a raise? Well, if you have a raise and you can support your family, you could be able to do in an easier fashion more things Jewish. You could send your kids easily to day school. You could, you know, shul dues, tzedakah. There's so many more Judaism, as you may or may not notice, is not an inexpensive phenomenon. You may have noticed that. All right? So that's it. I want to be able to be a good Jew. I need to have the parnassah, the support to do that. Okay? In other words, how is what you're asking for part of the covenantal mission of Judaism? A mature prayer is not just jumping on Santa's lap and asking, please, God, give me stuff. Why? Because I'm really good. All right? Because you see that Yaakov did not do that. We're using the same approach to tefillah that Yaakov approached. Yaakov did not say it because, hey, I'm Yaakov Avinu. He didn't do that. He said, you know, Hashem, who's the God of my father, Avram, who's the God of my father, Yitzchak, Hashem, who has told me that go from this land and it'll be, you know, he says he's viewing his prayer not from his own worth per se as being as an expression of the covenantal mission. And we are part of we are what they call B'nai B'rith, not just an organization. We are the children of the covenant, each one of us. And as such, we want to put to a more sophisticated or more mature tefillah, puts into that framework. Okay, so I want, now enough of me talking. Now I want you guys to, you know, on the back, you can write down a tefillah, one of these four tefillahs, and then we'll do sharing at 9:00. I'm going to give you a full 20 minutes to write a thoughtful prayer. Okay?
I think for a friend, is it, are writing in third person or first person? Or
do we write the name?
So you can say, so you could do it in two ways. Either way, I'm going to say, you could be diving for your close friend to have this success. That's one way. In other words, it's your prayer on their behalf. That's one approach. Or you're crafting it for them to say. Either way you want to go. I'm just doing this as a way to make people feel comfortable because I don't want people to articulate their personal prayer because tefillah is a private affair. Okay? It's a silent, in other words, it's the silent Amidah. Okay? When you daven, it's just you and Hashem. That's it. But here we're going to have to do a exercise. So okay? Is that clear? We're gonna.
Wow.
Okay. Anybody want to follow up on that one?
Jenna, no, bro. I want to take that prayer.
Wow, seriously. Can I get a copy of that?
Okay. All right. All right, anybody else? Okay.
So, wait, question then.
Okay, we're only going to learn by sharing your among friends. Okay, come on. Okay, enough of the false modesty.
Yeah, good.
Very good job, Jenna. Excellent. Well phrased and articulated. You know what, by the way? That was a phenomenal prayer. But if you then had to edit it down, because I mean that would be a little bit chunky to say on a daily basis, but I think that was phenomenal. Let me identify some of the key things I like. You framed, in other words, when people say, you know, when people daven for a shidduch, it's typically like, you know, I'm so sick. You know, typically it will come right in my, you know, a person slams the door after a horrible date, the date from hell. Slam. Coat tossed onto the chair, rather aggressively. Boom. Okay. Fridge open. And then and the bending down for the preferred beverage. Well, when the tefillah will start, of like, you know, can I get things anymore? Sort of like a Calgon, take me away kind of moment. You know what I mean? Remove the pain of endless, painful, stupid conversations with people that I know is not going to work out in the first 12 seconds, but stuck for 2 hours, marooned in the island of hell. Okay? You know what I'm talking about?
No,
I do not know what I'm talking about, Rabbi. So here, you, what I liked about your tefillah text was that you framed the request in A, articulating like Yaakov, I'm not really worthy of the extra help. Okay. Two, sort of the mission of being married is not just remove the pain of dating. That's not the goal of marriage. Although it is a nice perk. I'm not gonna, but the goal of marriage is to be able to build a home and have children and raise them in the Jewish way, which you put in there. That's a nice, you put the whole package. And it wasn't just, most people get, you know, in a moment of exasperation, they'll call to Hashem, just get me the hell out of here of this painful experience, which is 100% understandable. You know what I mean? But that's a much more, I like to say in other words, that's a much more mature tefillah. What we're looking for is a more mature, reflective tefillah versus just a scream for help. There's a place for scream for help. I'm not saying that we see that, but we're sort of modeling sort of the Yaakov-esque tefillah we talked about last week. That was a home run. Okay, anybody else want to give? Dad, Dan,
throw it out there. Why not? Mine is a lot more simple.
Okay.
I wrote, "Blessed are you, Hashem, who provides and answers." My friend, and I made up the name Joe French. I don't know why.
Why not? Joe French.
My friend Joe French.
By the way, that's a good thing. You should mention the person's name. We do Mishaberach. We do a thing which meant, but I'm glad you kept the anonymity of the person. Good.
Yes.
Go on, Joe French.
My friend Joe French wants a promotion. I care about Joe and his well-being. I believe he will use this promotion to help others he cares about and good will come of it. You are the creator and have shown much kindness to me and my ancestors. Please help Joe with getting the promotion. Thank you, Hashem, creator of all things.
Very nice. Very nice. So now we can even shorten that because you've already done a lot of blessed are you, Hashem, in the tefillah. So if you're sticking in a brach, you don't have to say that statement. You can just say, may it be the will. May it be your will, Hashem. Our God, God of our four. You could toss that more. You could add that in, but that's all good. Mm-hmm. Keep it in. I mean, if you want to shrink it down, if you want to make it more efficient, you could do that. And then add in the person's name. God does not know who I'm thinking about, but it's a much more articulate. Imagine you're like an ambassador putting forth a case or a presentation. I mean, does more like you are like a lawyer coming before a judge, like one of the models. You are sharing, you're presenting, you're presenting your justification for this help. It's done in that framework. Tachanun is a different idea. By the way, there's different modalities of tefillah. We're just doing the one modality. Okay, you know what I'm saying? This is not this area is a very complicated thing. All right, so we're doing an Amidah thing. So that's a fantastic guy. Anybody else want to?
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
If we claim for someone for something else besides sickness, do we still have to use their mom's name?
No. So even if you're for illness we do them and let's say Chaim, Ben Sarah, let's say whatever his mother's name. But if you don't happen to know the name, you can say Chaim Shur. I mean, you could do that. So you can do this. Right, anybody else want to jump in onto the tefillah game? Dead.
God, I am praying for help. And to the Father Shelley, my friend's work helps others and creates the Kiddush Hashem. His role as a father passes on Jewish values and continues the next generation of Jewish people from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Please, God, provide a full and speedy recovery.
Beautiful. Very nice. Very nice. What I liked about that tefillah was you're sort of like articulating a reason, not just like heal him, because I will be sad, which is how most people feel. Elam, because you're starting to articulate some of the objective goodnesses that you see. He's a person who is a pillar of the community. He is a person who is a source of sanctification of God, a Kiddush Hashem. He has a wonderful family. He will help others. He really embodies what it is to be a Jew. These are, do you understand? In other words, ultimately, tefillah is a very paradoxical activity. So all we can do is model the tefillah Hall of Famers. And who are the tefillah Hall of Famers? That'll be Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So we're just modeling their excellence. We do not know why that, what the combination exactly is. You know what I'm saying? So all we can do is follow their lead because, you know, that they're the Hall of Famers, okay? So you could dive in like a rookie or you could dive in like a pro. So we're going to go like a pro, okay? So that's well done. I like that. Excellent. But by the way, in addition to being a more sophisticated, thoughtful, heartfelt tefillah, which is all good, but it will make the tefillah, your tefillah experience, far more, it'll also create, in addition, personal motivation to daven. Because not just a reading of a series of formal blessings about the Jewish people, it's the Jewish people, and particularly the individual who's a member of the Jewish people, Joe French, or my friend, whoever it is, who I am really agitated about because they have this situation. It makes me utterly. Now, again, obviously, you can easily slip in from Joe French yourself in any of these things or any other need, you know, which of course will make the tefillah experience far more personal, far more powerful. Okay, as far as gaining motive, in other words, in addition to making tefillah a regular activity, so you feel that it's a meaningful personal experience. Okay, who else wants to join on in? Come on! I'm gonna start calling on people.
Oh yeah!
What?
Okay.
Okay, Jay. Yeah, give us.
I'll share.
I appreciate your maturity, JD. I appreciate your maturity. Go on. Thank you.
This is one that I wrote.
Okay, good.
And I say it before, like I pray or like I read the Tehillim. So I'll say this. I'll say for the spiritual healing of mind, body, soul, emuna, bitachon, patience, humility, and gratitude. And then I'll say whoever names,
okay.
And then I'll say for Bnei Israel, and then Olam, so that we merit our redemption, and then the Shiach, so we're united.
Nice.
And the faith, and then we go in the Beit HaMikdash.
So that's
and the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay,
that's very long.
Okay, so the request is for what? For health and well-being?
The spiritual healing,
okay,
of mind, body, and soul.
Okay.
Amuna, Bitachon.
So let's say the particular person you're dying for. So what blessing? So my question is, what blessing would you put it in? If you're going to add it to your Amidah, where would you stick it? Would it be in the healing blessing?
Where would patience and humility and gratitude?
So in general, if you have a much more broader request for a particular person, you put in the last blessing of Shomet Tefillah, God who hears all prayer, sort of the catch-all blessing for any request. So you'd ask for that. You put in that blessing. You insert in that blessing. Okay. All right, so I saw a lot of writing, but I'm not going to make everybody put everybody on the spot. Okay, one more person. Come on, one more before we go. Who's going to? All right, fine. We're not going to do it. Okay. All right, but you got the idea. I hope the activity you found was helpful. But the goal here is not just to do an academic activity here. The goal is to actually, everybody here around the table without, you know, everybody here, to be human is to have needs. And as a Jew, we address our needs to the creator of the universe. And the truth is, as we talked about last week, that's a surprise because you would not think, why would the God care about our particular needs? Okay? But we have a precedent here. We have a precedent of the Avot that they are framed as being as an extension as there's a covenant that God made with the Jewish people. That's the cornerstone of being a Jew. Our tefillah is an extension of that as in order to move that, as each one is a vital link in that chain. In order to move that forward, your basic needs should be, you know, you have a right to ask for that. Now, obviously, this activity of thinking before you daven also will sort of like winnow away like frivolous things like, you know, the parking spot, hope this coupon is still valid. Can I get the 2-for-1 pizza slice deal? You know, the things that we have are that spontaneous, like, hope I get into the movie. You know, we've had all these important requests. You could daven little things, but really the Amida is from your real core needs. And I just hope that the activity, if you get the other, not just, you know, and even if you don't write it out, even if you, before, while you're sitting about to daven, to sit and reflect, one of the things we said is to sit, and really part of it is to what really is, what do you need? And, you know, that's one of the things we, and if you don't really know what you need, one of the requests is for knowledge, is to know what I should want, what guidance I should have, if I feel confused, if I feel I'm not clear on my life direction. That's also a foundational need. I need guidance. I don't even know what I need. I think what I need, I could be completely off. Another honest thought. Okay, there's a lot here. This is a topic we will revisit, and we're going downstairs for kumbhas. Okay.
Nice.
I'm going to head home.